Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and perhaps even join in the conversation tonight. Our phone lines are open right now, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free anywhere in the U.S. at 888-677-9673. We'd love to have you on with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for another opportunity to be on the air. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have to be able to do this and the means that we have to do this, and just thank you for making that possible. Now, Lord, just pray that you would just use the program tonight and the discussions that we have to be a help, to be a blessing, and to be encouragement to somebody tonight. Father, if there's one person that's listening that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we do ask that something that we talk about tonight might be that thing that the Holy Spirit can use to reach them with the gospel that they might be saved. Thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glad you're able to be with us tonight, and as we were talking at church today, somebody ought to shoot the groundhog, I think, because groundhog was telling us a month ago on February the 2nd that spring was just around the corner. Both Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania said it, and so did Buckeye Chuck here in Ohio. They both said it. They're in collusion, I think. And neither of them was right. Of course, I shouldn't be too surprised. Last year, they both said that it was going to be a long time before spring, being our 6 weeks of winter. And we had an early spring last year. And I'll tell you what, it's been 4 weeks since they made their early spring prediction. And it's cold, and it was snowing all day today. We were supposed to get a trace of snow yesterday, and it snowed all day. We got an inch or so. Or two, I guess. Not really a whole lot, just light, fluffy snow. But still, it was only supposed to be a chance of snow today, and I think it snowed all day everywhere I was. So, anyway, it is slightly getting warmer, I guess, but it's still way below normal temperatures. And it just goes to show you don't know what temperature is going to be until it gets here, weathermen and groundhogs notwithstanding. I think they all just make a good guess, but we know that God's got a day that he's created for us, and the Bible says this is the day the Lord made. Let's be glad and rejoice in it. And if it's colder than you like, bundle up a little bit more. And if it's cooler than you like, or warmer than you like, I guess you can, you don't have to wear your heavy sweater, but we just got to take them as they come, I guess. But spring's on its way. You can see the flowers starting to poke through the soil. The tulips and daffodils and different things are poking up through the soil little bit by little bit. Some of the buds in the trees are starting to swell. They're making maple syrup. And so spring's on its way, eventually. We'll see it when it gets here. But at any rate, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, as I said, 888-677-9673. A lot of times people wait till the end of the program, and we are on till midnight, and we get a lot of good calls sometimes in the last 15, 20 minutes of the program, but unfortunately we run out of time to talk about some of those things oftentimes. So this is a good time to call, a good time to get in. And we're going to talk about a few things here happening in the world around us today. And one thing I wanted to mention before I forget about it, I wanted to mention it last week, and I just didn't get to it, and then the program ran out before I could. The Akron Fossils and Science Center down in Copley, Ohio, it's on the west side of Akron, down State Route 21, straight south of Cleveland. And they can be found at akronfossils.com. That's akronfossils.com. The Akron Fossil and Science Center is having their fifth annual science fair convention on May the 4th. And if you're a homeschooler or if you're involved in a Christian school, day school of some sort, I would contact the Akron Fossil and Science Center. Go to their website, akronfossils.com, or you can give them a call at 330-665-3466. That's 330-665-3466. And you can find out more information about their science fair, how your students can get involved. They also have opportunities for adults to get involved. So it's a great opportunity, and they can give you more information on the Akron Fossils and Science Center's fifth annual science fair convention coming up May the 4th. They give you all the details about entering, the requirements, the times by when you have to get everything in. And so I'd encourage you to give them a call, Akron Fossils and Science Center at akronfossils.com. Telephone 330-665-3466. And a great opportunity. And even if you're not interested in the science thing or fair, go down and take a tour down there sometime. Check out their website, akronfossils.com. All right. Well, a couple other things I was going to mention when you're thinking about here. Yeah, we've been talking in our Bible study at church, our Friday night Bible study. We have every Friday night at 7 o'clock. We have an informal Bible study and certainly invite you to come and visit us there. But we've been talking about some different things, and we talked last Friday night about a passage in Proverbs that we had looked at during our Wednesday night get-together. We get together for some prayer time on Wednesday night, and there's a passage in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 6, and I just wanted to share that and share it with our church on our Friday night Bible study. And it says in Proverbs 14 verse number 6, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." Let me read that again. "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." And let me kind of explain what he's talking about there. There are a lot of times people, they say that they're asking legitimate questions and they want to know what's going on, but they're really not. They're scorners, and they're nitpicking, and they're looking for reasons not to believe the Bible. Have you ever run into people like that? They're out there. You'll run into them. We've had them every once in a while show up at church or at Bible study or even call on a radio program, and I run into them, you know, at our nursing home service and things like that. But what they're doing is they're really looking for reasons not to believe the Bible. And the Bible here says that the scorner seeketh wisdom, and they can't find it because they really don't want to see it. But he says that knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. If you have a desire to learn, and you trust Christ as your Savior, and you're genuine in your desire to learn and understand the Bible, you are going to find it easy to learn and to understand, and there's a reason for it. Now, let me point you over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit," and he's talking about the Holy Spirit here, "searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14, he kind of sums this up. But the natural man, now that's the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, look at that again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the scorner seeking wisdom and finds it not because he can't. And I might add, not only the unsaved person who does not possess the Holy Spirit of God, he cannot find out some of these things because he receives them not. Because, a lot of times looking for reasons not to believe. But, a saved person that is walking in the world rather than in the Spirit of Christ, the saved person that's backsliding, the saved person that's living a worldly lifestyle, a carnal Christian, we could call him, is a person that is not in tune with the Spirit of God as well, and he's going to have trouble discerning the spiritual things, because he's not walking in the Spirit, and he's not listening to the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And in order to understand your Bible fully, there has to be spiritual discernment that ultimately the unsaved person cannot fully understand the Bible because he does not have the Holy Ghost, as it said there in verse 13, the Holy Ghost teacheth comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And without Christ, you're still dead in your sins. Remember, the Bible says that we were created in the image of God in Genesis chapter 1. God made us in his image. In Genesis chapter 2, we can see that elaborated, where it says that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And you can see the body that was formed, analogous, of course, a picture of God the Son, and the breath of life, the Spirit, the living Spirit within Adam, analogous, of course, to the Holy Spirit of God. And then, of course, he became a living soul, and that would be analogous to God the Father. Now, just as Adam was one person with three parts to his person, body, soul, and spirit, God is one God with three parts to his being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they died spiritually. And because they died spiritually, their fellowship with God was cut off. It's through the Spirit that we fellowship with God. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, God begins to commune with your new spirit because he creates a new spirit within you. Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians here in chapter number 5. Let me turn over here real quick. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, he writes this. He says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, the old sinful flesh is still with us. We still have that. But our old dead spirit is now made alive in Christ, and we have a new spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our heart and communes with us through that new spirit, that living spirit. And we are now spiritually alive, and the Holy Ghost can teach us spiritual things, and we're able to receive them. I've done my share of funerals, and I could stand over the body of the person in the casket, and I could try to teach them something all day, but he's dead, and he's not going to receive the things that I have for him to receive because he's dead. And but the living people, the survivors, the loved ones and family members that are at that gather at the funeral, they can receive the things that I have to tell them because they're alive. And so the spiritual, the person who's dead spiritually cannot receive the spiritual thing. And the person who is alive spiritually because of Christ, because of being born again, because of trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've been made alive in Christ, and they can receive spiritual things. Nevertheless, as Proverbs chapter 14 in verse number 6 said, the scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. And he's still working in the flesh. And you're not going to find the wisdom of God in the flesh, especially if you're really not looking for it. You're just looking for reasons to reject. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Get you on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we have John and Euclid calling in. And John, welcome, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello, John. All right, we'll get to John in just a moment. John, as soon as you hear me, go ahead and start talking. We'll get you on here. Just having a few problems with the telephones there tonight. But, of course, if you want to give us a call tonight, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we will get John on here just as soon as we can. And we'll get that sorted out right here. John, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, there
hello,
you are.
Pastor
Welcome.
Al.
Welcome.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Pastor Al. So I wanted to ask you something in 2 Kings chapter 5.
All right. Let's get a look at here. At 2 Kings, you said?
Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 5.
All right. All right, what are we looking at here?
Well, you know that there was Naaman the Syrian, you know, he was a captain of the host.
Mm-hmm.
Syria, and he was a great man with his master, but he was a leper.
Right.
And we know he was eventually healed of his leprosy, and you know it pictures salvation because you know, leprosy being a type of sin.
Uh-huh.
And I just always found it, after reading through some of this, I found it interesting. There's so much in this chapter, but there's a verse here, it's in verse 18, where Naaman seems to be saying to Elisha, you know, that he's asking that the Lord pardon him, that when he goes in, his master goes in the house of Rimmon, you know, is like, I'm sure, a false god.
Right, it's
an idol. He tells about that, yeah. And he says, when I bow myself down, and they're basically like saying, like, when he goes to worship a false god, I never saw that before. And I read that, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That he would, like, it seems like he's asking, you know, oh, let me be pardoned for this when I have to do this, you know?
Yeah. And that is something people have asked about in verse number 18 there. And let me go ahead and read it, because he was very thankful that God had healed him of his leprosy, and there seems to be some indication that he realized that Jehovah was the one true God, and that's what he says. In this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And then Elisha says there in verse 19, he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And it goes on in a story about Gehazi and all of that. But the question is, was he asking for, permission, in a sense, to worship in the house of Rimmon because he sort of had to? What was going on? And I think that's where you're going with that, right?
Yeah,
right.
Because in verse 15, he had just said, you know,
He says, I know there's no God on all the earth but in Israel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed clear that he understands, and then a few verses later, he seems to be saying, "Oh, but I'm still going to be doing that," you know.
Well, and a couple things in play here, of course, in this passage. He is a servant to the king there, and he's under the king's authority and command. And if you read that closely in verse number 18, he says, "In this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand." Okay? So he's going to go in and bow down to worship before the false god of Rimmon. That's his master. And he is holding the guy's hand, supporting him. He's leaning on my hand, meaning he's supporting him. He's going in there, essentially, you know, leading him, protecting him, supporting him. And you can get the picture here that as the guy's leaning down to worship Rimmon, that Naaman has to, of course, lean over as well, you know, to lower him down. And so he would be bowing down in the house of Rimmon. But he's trying to say that, you know, I feel guilty bowing down in the house of Rimmon, and the Lord excuse me of this because I have to go in there. It's my duty to take my master in there and hold him up as he bows over, you know, as he bends over and bows down to the ground. And so I have to bend over with him. But I think what he's getting at here is he didn't want God to think he was bowing down before Rimmon. He was merely bending over as he was helping his master lower himself down to the ground. And I think that probably makes sense, especially since Elijah says, "Go in peace," and you know, didn't rebuke him for it. So it appears that he felt guilty going in there doing this, but it was his duty to help the man bow down. Of course, he had to lean over while he was doing it. So that's kind of what I see going on there.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think about that either, right, because he was the captain of the king.
Right.
He's like sort of a commanding general.
Exactly, and so he had to go in there and help the king as he bowed down. And, of course, if you've ever been like in a nursing home, it's kind of hard to lower somebody down into a chair, for instance, without bending over.
Bending over, yeah, exactly.
And he didn't want God to think he was worshiping Rimmon after God had graciously healed him. So.
Yeah, I see. Okay, I just found that curious.
Oh, yeah, and I've thought of that before, and reading and looking at some different commentaries and things like that, and then carefully reading, because he said, "When my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon." So the indication there is that he doesn't want anybody to think he's actually worshiping Rimmon while he's carrying out his duty supporting the king and as he goes in. So I think that that helps explain what's going on there.
Yeah, that does, yeah. Well, okay, yeah, well, thanks, Pastor Ellis.
Well, I appreciate that, John. Thank you very much for your call. And you're listening, of course, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we have, it looks like, Kara on next. And Kara, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
My question is, what is going to be the role of the Holy Spirit when all the believers are in heaven?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. In fact, I was just browsing through a little book at a thrift stop yesterday, and he talked about that. I didn't agree with what he said, but he talked about it. That shows people think about this. And we've got just a couple minutes before the break. If necessary, we can carry this over on the other side of the break. But in 2 Thessalonians, and let me flip over here real quick, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see that the Holy Spirit is taken out of the world. Now, remember, the Holy Spirit came into the world in his present ministry on the day of Pentecost, but God's Spirit had been working in the world before. In fact, at the at the baptism of Christ. Remember, John the Baptist baptized him in the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down on him, and the voice of the Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, just because his ministry that we have at the present is concluded, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not active in the world. But when God catches away the believers out of the world, an event we often refer to as the rapture or the catching away. The catching away is probably a more accurate term, but the rapture is probably a more familiar term. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says that the Antichrist will not be revealed until in verse number 6. He says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And the word withholdeth there is the same Greek word that's translated as letteth in the next verse. And it means to be restrained, just like a legal term without let and hinder or hindrance. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now, he indwells the believer at the day of salvation. We're going to have to hold this to the next side of the break, but he indwells you at the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. He didn't do that prior to the day of Pentecost or prior, you know, to Christ. Stick with us, Karen. We'll continue with this after our break. Thank you.
Al, I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. And, of course, we're brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in the center of North Royalton there. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. If you're looking for any kind of old jewelry or old coins, old military items, memorabilia of all sorts, check out Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. He's got a little bit of everything, including the kitchen sink there. And let Frank know that you heard about Frank's Antiques in North Royalton right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Also, our newest sponsor, of course, I want to welcome East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and more in addition to pizzas. And East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the high school there in Garfield Heights. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention that you heard about East Coast Pizza there in Garfield Heights right here on Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's mention that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al, or just Live with Pastor Al, and you'll get a medium one-topping pizza for $5 at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, and right across from the high school. Also, if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop without the high franchise fees, why don't you give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call at 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus, and he can help you understand or find out how to start your own pizza shop for under $50,000. And it's a good deal if you're looking to get into a pizza business yourself. And it's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100, right across from the Garfield Heights High School and on Turney Road. And mention Late Night Live with Pastor Al or Live with Pastor Al. Get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. Also wanted to mention, before we get back to our callers here, that last Friday's program, we had a little bit different format in the sense that I combined programs with the program before us. Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church has a program Friday afternoons, 1 o'clock until 1:30, called For the Cause of Christ. And I was a guest on his program, and then he joined our program, Live with Pastor Al, Friday afternoon at 1:30 to 2 o'clock as a guest on my program. And that way we were able to spend an hour talking on the topic of homosexuality and the Bible. And we use the billboard, if you're in the area and have seen the billboard in Brunswick on the southbound side of Interstate 71, a billboard set up by Southwest Baptist Church. And the billboard changes every few months, different message on the billboard. And the message currently on it says, homosexuality is sin, but Christ can set you free. And so we were talking about that and what was going on with that and some of the controversy that it stirred up. If you'd like to listen to those programs, you can find them at our website at live.maplenoel.us. That's live.maplenoel.us. And you can download them. They're in an MP3 file, two files, one for each program, each half-hour program. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, that's 888-677-9673. Give us a call, and we are talking with Kara in Cleveland. And Kara, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Glad that you were able to stick with us here over the break. And we were talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What happens when the Holy Spirit ends his current ministry? And as I was saying, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about that moment. And remember, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon believers and left them. He did not indwell them on a continual basis. In fact, in Psalm 51 and verse 11, David says, "Cast me not away from thy presence." And then he says this, "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And we also know the one of the judges, Samson, remember, and said he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. And so we can see the Holy Spirit came on people and left. But after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers. And now when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And because you've received, or I'm sorry, you received the Holy Spirit, and he never leaves you. So that's why when the rapture takes place, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will change. And some circles, they say you get saved and then you got to hold out, pray, or do whatever to receive the Holy Spirit. But Paul has a very simple answer to that. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so you cannot be saved in this current dispensation and not have the Spirit of God. You got him, whether you realize it or not, at the moment that you got saved. Now, when the rapture takes place, catching away of the believers, we'll be caught up into heaven. And that is where Paul was talking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the restraining influence on the devil for bringing into view the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit ends his current ministry. And it says there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." And it means that what is withholding, he refers to the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, various titles given to him there. And something's preventing the devil from revealing the Antichrist right now. And what that something is the Holy Spirit working through all of the believers that are in the world today. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And so the devil's already busy. The devil doesn't know when the present ministry of the Holy Spirit's going to end and the believers are going to be taken out of the world, but he has to be ready. And so in every generation, he's got, I believe, one or more people that he's grooming and preparing that they could potentially become the Antichrist. And when he who now letteth, meaning hinders, as I said before, it's the same word translated as withholdeth in verse 6. And just like in the legal sense of a legal document that says without letter hindrance. Now he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And if the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, the only way that could be is if we're taken out of the way. Because he said he wouldn't leave us. We're sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit's in us. And he's not going to depart from us. So I believe that when the rapture takes place, the believers are caught up out of this world. The present ministry of the Holy Spirit will cease, but he will still minister only in a different fashion. I think it'll be more like he did in the Old Testament days, where he will come on people and leave people. They will not be indwelt by the Holy Spirit on a permanent basis as we are today. And so during the tribulation period, you will see the Holy Spirit empowering people to do certain things. You'll see the Holy Spirit drawing people to Christ. You'll see the Holy Spirit empowering certainly the two witnesses and the 144,000. And you'll see the Holy Spirit giving people strength to resist the Antichrist and even to the point of being martyred for the cause of Christ. So the Holy Spirit won't cease being active. It's just the ministry right now because, see, the Bible says you and I are to be salt and light in the world. And salt and light, they retard the effects of spoilage and decay. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to retard the effects of corruption. And I tell you what, you only have to look at the world around us to see the corruption that's increasing dramatically. I mean, the state of Massachusetts just put out a policy requiring that kids that identify let's say Johnny goes to school and he decides that today he's Sally. Even if he's in high school, he has to be allowed to use the women's restrooms and change in the girls' locker rooms. You know, that's ridiculous. Because otherwise you might hurt Johnny's feelings because he feels like he's Sally today. Or if Sally feels like or you have Susie who feels like her name is Bobby or is Bob today, and she wants to change in the boys' locker room, you can't refuse her. And she wants to use the boys' restroom, you can't refuse her. And this is unbelievable. There's the child in Colorado in grade school that they send to school dressed like a little girl, and he's a boy. And everybody's being told that he has to be able to use the girls' restroom and all kinds of stuff. And then of course a few months ago there was the case of the man in Washington State at a college. Has a pool, and along with the pool, they have, of course, the high school and a local swim club and all that uses the facilities there. And a woman with her 17-year-old daughter walked in and saw a 45-year-old man sprawled out naked on a sauna bench in the girls' locker room. Well, he was allowed in there because he identified as a girl. He's a 45-year-old man. And the swim coach ordered him to leave and called the police, and then she was forced to apologize. It's like somebody said, she wanted to keep her job. And, the society around us is falling into chaos. And, it's our job as believers to try to do the best that we can to hold back the darkness and to keep the corruption at bay as long as possible. But I don't think we're doing that good of a job right now. And one day we're going to be taken out of here, and the Holy Spirit's current ministry of retarding and withholding and preventing the Antichrist from being revealed is going to be over, and the Antichrist will come on the scene. And the Holy Spirit will still work, but just in a different fashion. And I know... Yes.
Can I take it a step further?
Yes, ma'am.
What I really was interested in was when, as the hymn says, when time shall be no more, and we are all living in heaven, and, the judgment
You're talking at the end of time in the new,
at the
new
time,
heaven and
right.
the new
right.
earth. Yeah.
What might the place of the Holy Spirit be? Because we will have our glorified bodies. We will not have the old sin nature living within us anymore. And I was just wondering what place the Holy Spirit might have.
Oh, absolutely. And in that time, we are going to enjoy God's presence completely. We are going to be able to fully know and understand God in a way that we can't even imagine right now. And the Holy Spirit is a much a part of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's all one being, one God, I should say. And that's the three parts of his nature. And we talk about the Trinity of God, and we will be able to understand him fully. And I believe it's the Spirit of God. It's through the Spirit of God that He will uphold that He will, in a sense, energize all of His creation at that time. I believe our very life, our very existence in that time will be as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, and it'll be the Holy Spirit that still helps us and just kind of helps us learn and come closer to understanding God, because we'll have all of eternity to learn and to grow and to experience. And I think that Holy Spirit, it's just kind of like if you got the lights on in your house and your house is all brilliantly lit up and you can read things and see things, and television's on, and the microwave works, and all that works. But when you turn off the electricity, it's all dead. And if the Holy Spirit was not active in God's new creation, it'd be dead. So I think that's a good way to look at it. Mm. So hopefully that helps you out there a bit.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate your call, and I hope you'll call again. That's a good question. Appreciate that tonight.
All righty.
Thank you very
so
much. Lord bless. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. And we have Fran in Cleveland, it looks like, as well. And, Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Okay, thank you.
Hi.
What is a sin unto death?
All right. That's a good question, a sin unto death. And this comes up periodically. And let me see if I can call up something here that might help us with that. In Romans chapter, let's see here. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, I think. That's one that I'm hoping is the one I'm looking for. Let me get turned over there, Romans chapter 6. And let's see. Here's Romans chapter 2. That won't do. Here's Romans chapter 6 and verse number, I'm going to start let's start in verse number 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. And as an aside, I love that verse. That's the answer to people who wonder what happens. If you believe that when God saves you, He keeps you saved, just like He says He does in the Bible, that's not a license to sin. No, we should avoid sin. We should try to do the best we can and let God help us to live a life that's pleasing and glorifying to Him. Because we're saved, it's not an excuse to sin. And then He says in verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Okay, so there's that sin unto death right there. And this is talking in this case about a believer, okay? And if you go over to Hebrews, let me get over to Hebrews chapter, I want to say Hebrews, over here. Here we are, Hebrews chapter 13. And Hebrews chapter 13 and, all right, looking at the chastening. Oops, I'm sorry, I overshot it by Hebrews chapter 13. It's Hebrews chapter 12. That's one of those things I always do. Hebrews chapter 12, and he says this in verse, starting in verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So he's obviously talking about believers here. And we're talking about sin unto death in the sense of, can believers sin unto death, and what's it mean, okay? And he says, we're going to endure chastenings if we're his children. Verse 8 says, "But if you be without chastisement," in other words, if you claim to be a believer and you sin with no chastisement of the Lord, then there's something wrong there, because he says, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I mean, you're not really his children. Right. And then he says in verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" And see, that implies that chastening could eventually result in ending our life early. And now we're not talking about losing salvation. We're not talking about being put into hell. We're talking about losing our life early. It's appointed unto a man once to die, but obviously we know that that appointment with death can be put back a little. Hezekiah was given 15 more years beyond his initial appointment. It's like calling the doctor. You know, you set an appointment, and you know, you can move it up or you can push it back.
Right.
And the Bible also says that honor your father and your mother. That's the first commandment with promise. And if you do that, he says that you'll have a longer life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was straightening out the Corinthian church in the matter of the Lord's Supper, and he tells them to examine themselves. The believers should examine themselves lest they eat unworthily, in the sense that if somebody's a Christian and God is trying to deal with them about some sin in their life and he's chastening them and they're shaking their fist at the Lord saying, "I will not change, I will not budge on this," and they're resisting God's attempts to get through to them, they should not eat or partake in the Lord's Supper. And if they do, they're doing it unworthily, because he says this, "Let a man examine himself," in 1 Corinthians 11:28, "but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." He's talking about condemnation, not hell. "Not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." What he's saying, some have died. God has chastened them even to the point of an early death.
Wow.
And so that can happen. So that's a sin unto death for the believer. A sin unto death for the unsaved person, that can be a little bit different. And I was going to also read 1 John 5:16 here. There's another thing about the sin unto death. He says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death," there is a sin unto death. "I do not say that he shall pray for it." And so we can see that a Christian can sin unto death in terms of losing your physical life. You don't lose your eternal life. Then, of course, there's the unsaved person. Sin unto death for an unsaved person, if you're just talking physical life, I mean, if an unsaved person commits suicide, he's sinned unto death, because that's the sin of murder, self-murder. In the case of the unsaved person, he's already lost and he's on his way to hell, and he's going to ultimately pay the second death, which is to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, because he's never trusted Christ as his Savior. And whether he, you know, does something which causes him to die or however it works out, I mean, in terms of the unsaved person, they're already dying, you know, lost and on their way to hell. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so rejecting Christ, that would be, if you want to get a related issue in here, the unforgivable sin, because God cannot forgive somebody who refuses to put their faith in Christ. It's just not possible to be forgiven, because that's the only way you can be forgiven.
Amen.
Is to put your faith in Christ. And so certainly encourage all of our listeners, if you've got questions about that, you need to get saved. You need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're condemned already. Kara, thank you. We're out of time, and I encourage our listeners to join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hope you have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.